Commander Adarin thought it prudent to report to Admiral Dossignol about Esme's presentation.
So you don't think she's rousing the ensigns to any sort of undesirable activity?
No, sir. You know how ensigns are. They'll go after anyone with real experience to talk about. They love gory stories, and that's what they were hoping for. Instead, she gave them a perfectly straightforward account, as unexciting as possible, of an innately thrilling engagement. Absolutely no self-puffery at all, and no attempt to romanticize Commander Serrano either. I've invited her to address the Senior Tactics Discussion Group. She'll get more intelligent questions there, but I suspect she'll answer them as well.
I don't want to make her into some sort of hero. It'll rile our touchy captain. Too much attention.
Sir, with all due respect, she is a hero. She has not sought attention. From her record, she never did. But she saved Serrano's ship and Xavier, and we can't pretend it didn't happen. Letting her discuss it in professional terms is the best way to ensure that it doesn't become an unprofessional topic.
I suppose. When is she speaking? I'd like to be there.
The meeting after next. We have that continuing education required lecture next time.
Esme reported to duty the next day, having spent most of the night awake with nightmares.
I hear you had an interesting evening. How does it feel to have an overflow audience? Ever thought of being an entertainer?
I wish they hadn't asked me.
Patak's eyebrows rose.
Sorry, I just would rather put it behind me.
Oh, it's behind you, all right. Just as a thruster's behind a pod, pushing it ever onward. Face it, Sweeza, you're not going to be an anonymous member of the pack ever again.
Esme couldn't think of anything to say.
Listen to me. You don't have to convince me that you're not a glory hound. I doubt anyone who's ever served with you or commanded you thinks you're a glory hound. But it's like anything else. If you stand in the rain, you get wet. And if you do something spectacular, you get noticed. Face it. Deal with it. And, by the way, did you finish with that cube on whole specs of minesweepers?
Yes, sir.
Esme handed it over, hoping the topic had turned for good.
I hear you're on the schedule for the Senior Tactics Discussion Group.
Esme managed not to sigh or groan.
If you've got any data on the hull damage to Serrano's ship, I'd like to hear about it. Also, the Benignity assault carrier that blew in orbit. Mines, I think it was. It would be helpful to know a little more about that. The mines and the hull both. I realized you weren't in the system for long afterwards, but perhaps...
Yes, sir.
Not that it's tactics proper, but data inform tactics, or should. I expect Commander Serrano made use of everything she knew about HNA.
Forewarned by this exchange, Esme was not surprised to be buttonholed by other senior officers in the days that followed. Each suggested particular areas she might want to cover in her talk, pertaining to that officer's specialty. She delved into the ship's databanks in every spare moment, trying to find answers and anticipate other questions. Amazing how connected everything was. She had known the obvious for years, how the relative mass of Benignity and fleet ships governed their chosen modes of action, but she'd never noticed how every detail, every subsystem, served the same aims. Even recruitment policy, which she had not really thought of as related to tactics at all. If you threw massive ships in large numbers into an offensive war seeking conquest, you expected heavy losses and needed large numbers of troops, both space and surface. Widespread conscription, especially from the long conquered worlds, met that need for loyal soldiers. Recent conquests supplied a conscripted civilian workforce for low-level, labor-intensive industries. A force primarily defensive, like the Familia's regular space service, manning smaller ships with more bells and whistles, preserved its civilian economic base by not removing too many young workers into the military. Hence, hereditary military families who did not directly enter the political hierarchy. Fascinating, once she thought about it this way. She couldn't help thinking what widespread rejuvenation would do to this structure, stable over the past 100 or more years. Then she surprised herself when she anticipated the next set of hull specs on Benignity killer escorts, on their choice of hull thickness for assault carriers.
How did I know?
You're a Sweeza.
Surprise overrode the automatic thought that she must have seen it before somewhere. She couldn't possibly be smart enough to guess right. By the time of her second presentation, she felt stuffed with new knowledge barely digested. She'd checked her illustrative displays. Yes, number 8 had been rotated 90 degrees from the standard references, and assembled what she hoped were enough background references. Esme lugged her carry-all of cubes and printouts into the assigned conference room. This was a large hall in the technical school's wing, T1, its raked seating curved around a small stage.
Looks like you came prepared.
I hope so, sir.
Esme could think of 2 dozen more cubes she might need if someone asked one of the less likely questions. She had come early, hoping for a few minutes alone to set up. But Patak, Commander Ceviche, and Commander Adarin were already there. Her chain of command, she realized.
Would you like any help with your displays? The remote changer in this room hangs up sometimes.
That would be helpful. Yes, sir. The first are all set up on this cube, but I've got additional visuals if the group asks particular questions.
Fine, then. I've asked Ensign Serrano to make himself available. I'll call him in.
Serrano. She hadn't met him yet, and after what she'd said at dinner, no one had gossiped more about him in her presence. She hadn't wanted to seek him out. What could she have said? I saved your aunt's life, your grandmother talked to me, let's be friends? No. But she had been curious. Her first thought when he walked in was that he had the look of a Serrano. Dark, compact, springy in motion. Someone whose entire ancestry was spangled with stars. Someone whose family expected their offspring to become admirals, or at least in contention. Her second was that he seemed impossibly young to bear the weight of such ambition. If he had not worn Ensign's insignia, she'd have guessed him to be about 16 and in the prep school. She had known there were young Serranos, of course, even before she got to the Kosciusko. They could not be hatched out full-grown as officers of some intermediate grade. They had to be born and grow like anyone else. But she had never seen it happen, and the discovery of a young Serrano, younger than she was, disturbed her. The glint in his dark eyes looked very familiar.
Lieutenant Suiza, this is Ensign Serrano.
Sir.
He twitched as if he would have bowed in other circumstances.
I'm supposed to keep your displays straightened out.
Very well.
Esme handed over the cube with her main displays and rummaged in the carry-all.
That one's got the displays that I know I'll need. And here, this is the outline. They're in order, but in case someone wants to see a previous display, these are the numbers I'll be calling for. Now these...
Esme gave him another 3 cubes.
These have illustrations I might need if someone brings up particular points. I'm afraid you'll have to use the cube index. I didn't know I'd have any assistance, so there's no hard copy listing. I'll tell you which cube and then the index code.
Fine, sir. I can handle that.
Esme had no doubt he could. Other officers were arriving, greeting each other. Ensign Serrano took her cubes and went off somewhere. Esme hoped to a projection booth, while she organized the rest of her references. The room filled, but arriving officers left a little group of seats in front, as if they'd had stars painted on them. Admiral Dossignol nodded at her. He seemed even taller next to Captain Haken. On the captain's other side, Admiral Levati fiddled with his chair controls, and Admiral Upanos, commander of the branch hospital, leaned toward his own aide with some comment. Adarin stood to introduce Esme. With the Admiral's arrival, the meeting started. Esme began with the same background material. No one made comments, at least not that she could hear. All her displays projected right side up and correctly oriented. She had checked them repeatedly, but she'd had a nagging fear. This time, her recent research in mind, she added what she had learned about the Benignity's methods, about the implications of fleet protocols. Heads nodded. She recognized an alert interest far beyond the ensign's hunger for exciting stories. When the questions began, she found herself exhilarated by the quality of thought they implied. These were people who saw the connections she had only just found, who had been looking for them, who were hungry for more data, more insights. She answered as best she could, referencing everything she said. They nodded and asked more questions. She called for visuals, trusting that the Serrano ensign would get the right ones in the right order. He did, as if he were reading her mind. The talk went on. They wanted to know every detail of the damage to Despite from the mutiny. What weapons had been used, and what bulkheads had been damaged. What about fires? What about controls? The environmental system fail-safes? The computers? The admirals, who had sat quietly listening to the questions of their subordinates, started asking questions of their own.
I'm sorry, sir, I don't know that.
Esme found herself saying that more often than she liked. She had not had time to examine the spalling caused by projectile hand weapons, to assess the effect of sonics on plumbing connections. Esme wondered how long it would go on. Finally, Adarin stood, and the conversation died.
We're running late. We need to wrap this up. Lieutenant, I think I speak for all of us when I say that this was a fascinating presentation, a very competent briefing. You must have done a lot of background work.
Thank you, sir.
It's rare to find a young officer so aware of the way things fit together.
Sir, several other officers asked questions ahead of time, which sent me in the right direction.
Even so, a good job, and we thank you.
The others nodded. Esme was sure the expressions held genuine respect. She wondered why it surprised her, why her surprise made her feel faintly guilty. The admirals and the captain left first, then the others trailed away, still talking among themselves. Finally, they were all gone, the last of them trailing out the door. Esme sagged. Ensign Serrano returned from wherever he'd been, running the projector, and handed her the stack of cubes.
That was impressive, Lieutenant. And you kept track of which display went with which question.
And you handled them perfectly. It can't have been easy when I had to skip from one cube to another.
Not that difficult. You managed to slide in those volume numbers every time. You certainly surprised them.
Them?
Your audience. Shouldn't have. They had recordings of the talk you gave the juniors. This was just fleshed out, the grown-up version.
Thanks.
The young Serrano gave her a cheerful nod before taking himself off somewhere. Since she didn't have another public appearance to get ready for, Esme headed for the gym when she came off shift. She'd missed out on her regular exercise. The gym was crowded at this hour, but almost at once one of the machines came vacant, and the jig who'd been leaning against the bulkhead waiting waved her on. Esme climbed onto the machine and set it for her usual workout. She'd been aware of quiet competition to have the machine next to hers in the exercise room, the eagerness to invite her onto wall ball teams despite her indifferent play, the little favors offered casually. She supposed it would go away in time, when people forgot about her so-called fame. She had never had really close friends in Fleet, and she didn't expect to acquire any now. Her mind hung on that thought.
Why shouldn't I have friends? If people like me, and they seem to.
It was only her transient fame. It had nothing to do with her real self. She worked harder until she was breathless and sweating, and all thought of friends had vanished in the struggle for breath and strength.